are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous, gorgeous planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Those who are joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I think you will be, too. This is going to be Open Line Live night. We try to do one each week and don't always make it. Sometimes it's not possible. But I do try to schedule at least one night during the week for us to do an open line show where we can just talk amongst ourselves, just talk about what's on your mind, you know? Last night in, no, it wasn't last night, I think it was night before last, during the show, Angelina Joyner's name came up. Now, she's the reporter that was working at the newspaper there in Stephenville and was reporting on the UFOs, and a series of things took place in which she exited. I classified it or characterized it as that they unjustly terminated her, but that's not exactly what happened. There were some details. She had given her notice, and they just instead of giving her the 2 weeks, said, okay, bye, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, but I thought it was kind of nasty the way they handled her. But in the show, I was remembering having sent her an email asking her to be on the show, and if I make a mistake, or, if I'm wrong about something, those who have been listening to this show for some time know that I will own up to it. I will tell you when I'm wrong. And I actually had a faulty memory of what she had written to me. And I said that she had said that, you know, she didn't want to do some interviews about the UFOs and things like that, and then she started a website, and I said, you know, that kind of, you know, raises a credibility issue. Actually, it would, except my memory of that email was faulty, and I want to set the record straight. She sent me a copy of the email, and I'm looking at it at the moment. And all it says is, she says, thanks for the invitation. I'm flattered. Right now, I'm concentrating on finding a job, but I'll see what I can do. Now, my memory of it, I've tried to figure out why I remembered it differently. Make no excuses. I remembered it wrong. I do know why. I got it mixed up a little bit with one I received from a witness. And one of the witnesses had made some statements kind of along the lines of that, and I kind of got them mixed in together. And I apologize for that. Angelina Joyner did not say what I told you she said. I wasn't lying to you. I remembered it wrong, and I want to set the record straight. All right? So tonight is Open Line Live. We're going to be talking about whatever subjects, whatever topics are on your mind. And we'll open the phone lines when we come back from this break. The telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steeleye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. You know, there's never been a better time for you to start your own broadcast. I know there are a lot of paranormal investigators. I know there are a lot of people who are paranormal experiencers who want to have their own broadcast. Well, now you can right here at Steeleye Media Network. It is within your grasp. You can do it, and we're waiting to hear from you. Give us a call today at 1-800-318-1008. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
This is Charles Hall.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist Stanton Friedman.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Hardcastle.
This is Jason Martell, researcher into the ancient astronaut theory.
You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show, the number one talk show choice of many galaxies.
As I said, this is going to be Open Line Live night. That means we'll talk about what's on your mind. Judging from the emails that I have received over the past several days, over the past two or three days, some of the things that people are quite interested in right now are the waves of unusually harsh storms that are sweeping across the United States. An earthquake up in the heartland of the United States, and maybe there was some strange UFO activity with that. Apparently there were some witnesses to that. Sightings of some very strange-looking UFOs. Sightings of some very large UFOs. And then, of course, the thing that's still rattling around and is on a lot of people's minds is this the whole bizarre case of, did the UN have a meeting about UFO disclosure or did they not? I think we've pretty well hammered that out, but if that's still something you're interested in, we'll talk about that too. Whatever is on your mind, we shall talk about it as long as it isn't politics, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, yes, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
The plant.
at least I'm chasing after JC's record, but anyway. You know, Kevin, those UFOs that I was talking about, UFO sightings that we've been having up here.
Yeah.
Over the past weeks, you know what, that wasn't my first UFO, and it's actually the best UFO I've ever sighted, and I was not the only one that saw this either, was back in 2004, and you're going to like this one.
All right, go for it, man.
Well, we were, me and a couple of friends, I had a GMC Safari van at the time, and I was the only one out of the group of five people that actually had a driver's license, and we were going to go up to Timmins, Ontario, to go see the WWF pay-per-view, and We were, instead of taking the regular highway up to Timmins, Highway 67, then to Highway 101, we decided to take the back road, which was right by the Frederick House Lake. And so we were driving down the back road. We were driving right beside the lake. Chuck, my best friend Chuck, he looked at the lake, and he said, "Kev, look at this, look at this." I turned around, and what I saw, I nearly went off the road because I was so shocked about what I saw. I pulled over, turned off the van. We all got out of the van to watch this thing. This thing, it was a huge black disc. I swear it must have been at least twice the size of a mid-sized car. It was a huge black disc just floating soundlessly over the lake. That was the first UFO I've ever seen in my life, and it's the first one they've ever seen. We just sat there watching it, and sat there for about a good 10, 15 minutes watching it, and then one of the guys, he was still sitting in the van, he was a disabled guy, he couldn't walk. He said, "The guys, we're going to be late for the pay-per-view. We got to get up to Timmins." I said, "Okay." So we didn't have a camera or anything, so we couldn't take any pictures, so we decided to leave the UFO. Wish we could have sat there watching it. But as we were driving away from it, we saw this huge flash of light out of, this was in the middle of the day here. It was still daylight outside. It was in the summertime. A huge flashlight in the rearview mirrors and that blinded us in the middle of the day. And I pulled over again, and we turned around, and the thing was gone.
What do you think the flash of light was?
I think that was the thing taking off. It's like, I don't know, the thing probably turned on some of its systems and some of its propulsion systems, which caused a huge flash of light, and it was gone. That was back in 2004.
Did it make any noise?
No noise whatsoever. All we saw was a big flash of light, and the thing was gone.
How high off the water was it hovering?
It was actually hovering just maybe a few feet off the water. That was it. Maybe it was, I don't know, maybe sucking water in or something. We didn't see that, though, but all we saw was the thing floating a few feet off the water.
Huh.
So it was like a moving shadow. It's like a big round disc, like a moving shadow. And when we looked up, there was nothing up in the sky. There was just the thing. And the thing was about, judging from our distance from it, would probably be about 5 feet high.
And when you say it was like a shadow, could you see through it?
No, it was just a big black disc, like a big moving shadow.
Okay, and now, what was it? Was it shiny or flat black, or what was it?
It had a bit of a gloss to it, but it was mainly black. You know, like those black triangles that people saw, that people see all the time, those big black triangles? It was like one of those, except this one was a disc.
This was in 2004?
Yeah. This was up here in 2004, and apparently I actually went back there just a couple of weeks ago to talk to one of the guys. I said, one of the ones that run a bar that was just on the side of the road there. He said, "Do you remember seeing something weird back in 2004? He said, "Yeah." He said he tried taking pictures of it. He took pictures of it. There was nothing on the film. All it showed was the lake, and that was it. He said he saw the thing, but it wouldn't show up on the pictures.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's quite the thing.
You know, usually we hear about things that people didn't see it, but then it shows up in their pictures. Hmm. And this was the other way around.
Oh, and another weird instance. Two nights ago, I'm an administrator in the Coast to Coast AM chat room on Pal Talk, and we had somebody in there who was fervently trying to make to let people know that he was actually John Teeter. Kevin?
I'm trying to take that in.
Yeah.
I thought he went back to the future.
I know, this guy was adamant that said, "Yes, I'm John Teeter." He's telling us all a bunch of information about this is me, this is what I like, this is what I'm into, and it's like, the first thing I said is that, "Pal, you know, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but I don't believe you."
Well, do you think it was a hoax?
I don't know, but John Teeter, you know, that's where he made his name for himself, was over the internet, so.
Yeah, and it's very, very difficult to verify the actual identity and the actual existence of the original John Teeter.
Yeah, I know.
And, of course, it would be difficult, if not impossible, to do that with this one. I don't know how you could do it.
But for those who don't know, John Teeter showed up on the internet, I forget when, about 10 years ago.
Yep.
And claimed to be from the future. He, from where?
2036.
Yeah, and said he'd come back to get some computer parts or something.
Yeah, it's an old IBM computer from the 1970s, I think is what the story is.
Mm-hmm. So. And then he disappeared.
Yep.
But you can Google the name John Teeter. It's T-I-T-O-R.
Yep.
And there is a website that's all about John Teeter.
Yeah, I've been to that website a few times. And on another, I guess maybe more lighthearted question, have you ever gotten any calls from UFO Phil? I know he calls radio shows all over the country. Have you ever gotten one from UFO Phil?
It seems like I... Maybe I did. It sounds familiar. If so, it would have been a long time ago.
All right. Well, UFO Phil, if you're listening, you got to write a song for Kevin Smith, too.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Kevin.
I'll see you later, Kevin.
All right.
Bye-bye.
1-800-289-1092. Whatever is on your mind, we'll talk about it. Now, I'll tell you, I've been getting a lot of email about these shows that we've had this week. And the shows that we had last week as well. You know, last week we had Sean that was on, and he talked about his encounter with Bigfoot up close and personal. We had Dr. Gerald Epling on last week, and we had that deep conversation about consciousness and his research that seems to show that perhaps consciousness happens before the arrangement of matter. So maybe some of those topics are on your mind, but if it's something else, we'll talk about that too, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Dick from Lebanon, Indiana.
Hello, Dick.
How you doing, Kevin?
Doing good. What's happening in Lebanon, Indiana?
Well, last night I put an IPUS alert out about what I had known about the facts in the Kokomo, Indiana case, and something that was tied to the earthquake that we had here the
All
day
right.
after.
Well, tell us about the Kokomo, Indiana case so that everybody will be up to speed.
Okay. I received a call, it was last week, about 7 o'clock in the morning, and this guy says on the phone that he said, hey, did you hear about the big boom we had up here and the big, they seen a red light, and they were saying that it was all a buzz about what was going on. I said, yes, as a matter of fact, it did. I got a call prior to you, but... I said to him, I said, well, how did you get our number here? And he said, well, you're one of four that I had to Google to get a hotline. And he said, you're the only one that answers the phone. The rest of them are just, you know, just recorded messages. So that started it out, and got my instincts up. And Kokomo, Indiana is only about 60 miles from where I live here in Lebanon. And it's a little industrial town, and there's some farm people up there, and people that are pretty straight shooters. I mean, they don't make these stories up. So I started getting phone calls in. I got 19 witnesses to the Indiana boom and lights show up there. They claim that there was UFOs in the sky. And there was like 7 to 12 objects in the sky. They were kind of reddish glow to them. They were dome shaped, and like I said, the 19 witnesses, they all had pretty similar reports on what was going on. So last night I reported that on our IPUS alert. That we knew these facts, that there was 7 to 12 dome-shaped objects, reddish cast to them, in a dogfight over Indiana. That's right, I said a dogfight.
Now, when was the event? What date was the event?
I think that was last Thursday.
All right.
Thursday. And like I said, it's the lines have been burning up at my house ever since. And the Indiana Air Guard come out with a statement, said it was jets, flares. It was a great big one of those sonic booms. And I didn't buy that story, okay?
Why not?
Well, you know, we had the same thing happen there in Stephensville, Texas, where, you know, they were talking about lights and flares and all that kind of stuff. At first, they said they didn't have any jets in the air. But these guys are telling the story that they had jets in the air. Well, the only problem with that is these witnesses say that there weren't any jets. There was just UFOs, and one of the witnesses said it, one of the UFOs shot a blue beam at this other UFO, and a big blast occurred, and actually his words were they vaporized whatever the craft was. So that was what we were thinking about, you know, the dogfight, so to speak. And I had heard stories like that to that effect. Matter of fact, I was on a show the other night in Monterey, California, and those guys were talking about a dogfight out there that I had not, you know, I didn't know anything about. So I guess these things happen all over. It's just the fact that they're not reported real widely. And the facts that as I know them tonight is, of course, I said that the blue beam come out of the one craft and kind of vaporized it. The callers were telling me that the cell phones in the area were unoperational for 3 to 4 hours where these UFOs were. There was also no power in that area. So, and we never heard that on the news. So these are facts that were reported to us by people that lived in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know why that was suppressed, other than the fact that you know, the powers that be, so to speak, do not want this out. And I'm
sure. Have you or any of your investigative team contacted the power company up there to ask them about it?
We did, and we did not get. They said that the lines were tied up, and they'd get back to us. And as to date, we have not received anything, and we have tried to call them, and they will not return our calls. So that seems rather suspicious as well.
What's the deal with a dogfight? I mean, this is kind of a new chapter in ufology here, isn't it?
No, I've been hearing about these dogfights, Kevin, for 10 years, but I've never been able to get anybody to, you know, say one way or the other whether that, you know, like these witnesses have stated, they said they actually seen them in the sky. Now, I'd heard stories from people that, you know, couldn't back up the different cases, but I've heard it for about 10 years.
All right, so we've got UFOs fighting UFOs.
Yes, maybe for territorial, or who knows? You know, maybe they're maybe there's one bully in the neighborhood. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that, other than the fact that that's what these people are telling me, that that they were shooting at each other, and it was like a blue beam, is what they're saying, like kind of like a laser type beam.
And you have 19 witnesses.
That's correct. And one of the witnesses I knew from a prior investigation that I had done, a rather famous lady by the name of Debbie Toomey, or Debbie Jordan, who used to be in the book that Bud Hopkins did, you know, the incredible journey at Copley Woods. And I know her personally, and she actually called us here and told us that her cell phones were completely out for 3 to 4 hours, and they had no power after they seen these UFOs. So I take her as a credible witness. I've dealt with her before.
There were Where's the nearest large body of water to you?
In my backyard.
No, come on. The nearest large body.
Let's see. The nearest large body would probably be what they call White River.
And where is that in relationship to this UFO dogfight?
It's a ways away from there.
Okay.
It's a ways away from there. But, and the only thing that's really close to it, you know, and this kind of tends to make you believe there might be something that they knew, was Grissom Air Force Base. Grissom Air Force Base was probably about 12 miles away from the event. So 12 miles is not that far, you know, for them to put up something in there. But it's an old, it used to be a major Air Force base, and now they've got, you know, just the guards. They've got, I think they've got a few jets there, but they've got more helicopters than they've got anything.
All right, now, somewhere along the way, I heard or read about people seeing a big flash of light.
Yes, yes. The big flash of light, according to these people, was this when they vaporized one of these UFOs. I mean, that's what the news media doesn't want to talk about.
You know, there's somebody sent me a link to some foreign press. I can't even remember now where it was. But they were reporting about this earthquake, that this was probably not an earthquake. And I'm not going to go into on the air, I think I told you about it, I'm not going to go into on the air what they said it was, because first, I think that's probably bunk. Maybe it's not. And secondly, I don't want to be the source of starting a panic, so I'm certainly not going to. But you have witnesses that say it was UFOs, and they were in a dogfight. And how long did this dogfight last?
They said that they felt like that the dogfight. Of course, I asked any of them if they, you know, looked at their watch or anything, and they said it seemed like to ensue for about 10 to 15 minutes. And then they were gone. But this earthquake thing that you had brought up, I have some witnesses that said that there were 10 to 12, now these are four witnesses that called me, that said that they had seen 10 to 12 UFOs dome-shaped, just like the ones reported in Kokomo, at the epicenter before this happened, like 1 to 2 hours before it happened.
And what were they doing?
They said they were just in the area, and they had spotted them. There was no dogfight at that time. So I don't think that the dogfight ever ensued in that area, because I couldn't get any witnesses. There was four that just told me that they had spotted them. It was on the news in Illinois, and I tried to get the name of the place that released it, and I'm still working on that, trying to get the name of the news that reported it.
All right, so you have witnesses that saw a dogfight, and then what? How many days go by before we have the earthquake?
The next day.
Next day, and there are witnesses that saw four or five UFOs in the area of the epicenter.
That is correct.
All right, we have a break coming up. Dick, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Yes, I will.
All right, I'm going to ask you to just hang tight through the break. And then, folks, we're going to open up the other phone line. Normally we use that for first-time callers, but you may have a question or comment for Dick, or you may have something else you want to talk about. So we'll open up that phone line at 1-800-318-1008. 1-800-318-1008. All right, we'll be back.
Shut down inside you with a cynic's eye, hating everything he sold. Till one day he turned his face to the sun, picked up his feet and then he started to run. And he said, life is what you make it anyway. So the winds keep on turning, we get caught up and we keep on learning. Could be a hurricane, but you know you can take it, 'cause life is what you make it. One stitch out, he was giving all the love he could. He grew up so strong inside and gave it all back. He's still giving, yeah. He walks with ease and a fire in his eye. Lives his own story and he's still getting high. And he says, life is what you make it anyway. And he says, says, life is what you make it. You give love and you can take it. Life is what you make it. And he says, life is what you make it.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet?
No?
Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today.
We're back. Show tonight is all about you, all right? That means it's open line, and we will discuss whatever you wish to discuss. Now, the telephone number to call is 1-800-289-1092, or if you can't get through on that one, try 1-800-318-1008. Dick, did you, by any chance, get a chance to listen to my show last night with Joseph Farrell?
Yes, I did.
Quite amazing information, wasn't it?
Yes. Matter of fact, there was some information there that I didn't even knew that, you know, that was out there. You know, I've done a quite extensive reading on some of the things that he talked about, but there were some things that that he had brought up that I found pretty interesting.
Well, he talked about, and his book talks about, a cosmic war that apparently happened millions of years ago, or at least thousands of years ago. And, you know, your story about this, these witnesses, or your report about these witnesses having seen a dogfight and a UFO get blown up, you know, I asked him if it's possible that these guys are coming back, and is it all going to happen again? And, of course, he said, well, you know, don't know. It's not in the ancient text that way.
Right.
Let's go to the other phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
I hate to interrupt you, Dick, but I just want to make one comment about this screwy weather.
All right.
I'm very disappointed. We've had two good chances for spring storms, and they've petered out.
Okay.
The last good one we had was in 84, and I missed that one. I was in Texas. We had 16-foot drifts.
Well, if you were in Texas right now, you would be having some stormy weather.
Well, it's supposed to snow until about 5 o'clock tomorrow morning, but it's petered out already.
Well, I apologize. There's nothing I can do about that.
I'm sorry. Okay, bye.
Thanks for the call. All right, 1-800-318-1008 or 1-800-289-1092. Dick, what do you think about this thing with the possibility that this war is ongoing?
There's something quite interesting about that. Something's ongoing because, like I said, I wasn't aware of when I was on the show the other night with these West Coast guys that they'd even knew anything about the Kokomo thing. And when I'd brought up the dogfight, they said, "Oh, matter of fact, we had one here about a week ago." And I said, "Really?" I said, "I didn't hear anything about it." And they said, "No." He said there was about 4 or 5 calls to the station, and they were talking about these, about the same. They were talking about the dome shape with the reddish cast to them. They said that they were out there doing the same thing. So, maybe they're fighting for territory or something. I tried to run that by one of my contacts, and he said we're trying to get a handle on that. So does that that entails to me that he doesn't know what it is?
Well, it doesn't sound wonderful, does it?
No. It doesn't give you a warm, fuzzy feeling either.
No, it doesn't. Sure doesn't. Dick, I want to thank you for the call.
You're quite welcome.
All right, and keep us up to date on that if you get some more information.
Yeah, and if anybody's out there listening and has any more info for us, please go up to our website, www.ipusnetwork.com, and there's also a number that you can call us, a hotline number.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. 1-800-289-1092, toll-free throughout. I keep getting an email from a couple of people that remind me that Mexico is North America. Well, part of it is. Part of it is not. And there are some parts in the northern part of Mexico where we have received calls on the 1-800 number, all right? But 1-800-289-1092 or 1-800-318-1008, and those are toll-free throughout North America. All right. If you live outside of North America, then what you need to do is you need to send me a Flash message, send an email to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. All right, let's go to the 1-008 number, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? All right, let's go to the 1092 number. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to make a comment. Actually, I wanted to vent a little regarding, I spoke before. I think that there's more hoaxes going on than there is reality, which really causes people in this science to have to wade through so much to get to the little bits and pieces of the truth. And it's just like this recent Phoenix Lights situation. This guy was seen setting off balloons with flares attached. And I don't know why people find it necessary to do this, to bring attention to themselves, or if they think they're getting a big chuckle out of these things. I don't know. They got more time on their hands and they know what to do with in between their six packs of beer. I got a neighbor like that. He's a CPA. And he's an arrogant, anal retentive, SOB. And every time I talk about UFOs, he gives me this little chuckle, and I just want to reach over and slap him or punch him or something. Because, the guy, he gives these chuckles, but yet he's like the average chuckler out there. They get these chuckles from listening to the news media. they're listening to news media commentary due to Chuckle, and so they figure, hey, you know, it's fair game that, you know, these guys are all nuts, so let's just chuckle at them without doing any research about it. But yet, in the same breath, he's telling me about how he used to, when he was younger, set off these little type balloons with lights in to fool everybody, then he'd give that chuckle again.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did the same thing. You know, I didn't do it to hoax UFOs. I just did it because I like building hot air balloons, and I powered them with a candle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he did it actually just to sit back and watch the reports come in, and then, you know, make. He thought he was making fools of all of us.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and you know, but there are stupid people everywhere. The world is full of knuckle draggers, and what can you say? I mean, you know, they're there.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, I look at, you know, modern technology has been a blessing in many respects, like internet, who's brought so much information and overwhelmingly brought the attention to the world about UFOs, but in the same respect, in a great deal, it's brought us a lot of hoaxers. And now you cannot trust video reports. Videos, you might as well just toss them out the door and say, because there's so many people hoaxing, and the technology has gotten so great on video hoaxing.
Yeah, but the real video. Yeah, but the real pros can analyze them and tell.
I think it's even getting hard for them to do.
I don't know. They can. They can do pixel analysis, and they can tell. Don, I got to move along to the next call, but thank you so much for the call. I agree with you completely about the hoaxer, and I think you know, I think he's stupid.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Have a good night.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, how you doing? It's Doug from Canada. How are you, buddy?
Outstanding, Doug.
Listen, is this coming in through clear? Because it's very choppy on my end.
Yeah, it's very clear.
I'm sorry?
Very, very clear. Go ahead, Doug.
Very clear. Okay, I'll go ahead. I can't hear you very well, but I'll go ahead. Nice to talk to you again here. Kevin, who called in earlier, is a buddy of mine. We're both admins in the same room on Pal Talk here. Anyhow, he wanted me to call and let you know about my first UFO experience as well. This occurred back in 1976, and it had to be one of the most life-changing experiences, Kev, that you would ever imagine. And I'm sure you've seen them before, too. Your first was probably, like, mouth-dropping as well, right?
Yeah, but I was 10.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was 14, so, like, let's not even... I was brought up way up in the country here in Canada. Not too far from Kev, actually. I've moved a little further south since then, a little warmer, but back in those days there, I wasn't really in any association with hippies or alcohol or anything of that nature there. I was quite naive, pretty stupid kid, actually. So let's just get that on the books.
All right. We've got 1 minute now.
I'm sorry?
1 minute till break.
Okay. Well, this UFO that I saw, Kev... I was probably a farmer's field, which, you know, like it's a couple of acres in between A to B. And I was standing in the driveway of my place, and over the tree line came a UFO. It had to be the size, about half the size of a football field. And it came, as I said, about 100 feet above the tree line, and then it hovered over the farm that was just across the way. And it sat there for a period of about 15, 20 minutes. And in that time, I'm, of course, jumping up and down, acting like a fool, telling them to come pick me up. I want to go for a ride. Of course, at age 14, that's got to be the most spectacular carnival ride you can ever take, you know. Anyhow, in that time, it was getting to be dusk. So the stars were just starting to come out. It was metallic in color.
Doug, I hate to do it, but we've got a break. And if you will, just hang on, and I'll get to you right after the break, all right? All right, folks, we will be back right after this.
There wasn't much that I could do. I left the green grass in your shadow and watched it slowly fade. Like a warm rain in the sky, and if you feel yourself fade into blue, wipe that tear from your eye, let it fade to blue.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
We are back, and apparently we lost Doug. I put him on hold for the break, but apparently we lost him. If you'd like to call back in, Doug, please do so. The telephone numbers are 1-800-289-1092 or 1-800-318-1008. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Calling back, Kev.
Okay.
That's you on the other line here. It's a lot clearer for me, too.
All right. Go ahead.
Anyways, as I was saying here, this UFO I observed was about half the size of a football field, and it came in about 100 feet, maybe 200 at the tops, above the tree line, about the distance of a football field from the farm, which was across the way. And it was metallic in cover and color. It was a classic UFO, Kev. It was classic. It was the perfect thing right out of 1954, whatever the movie was. Day of the World, I can't remember. But it was classic. It was really, really classic. Now, of course, as I was saying, I was jumping up and down in the drive, acting like probably the biggest fool in probably a 10-mile radius of our area. And, trying to get it to come over and pick me up, or at least let me get a better look at it. And, of course, it didn't do that. But it was there for a period of about 20 minutes as it hovered over the farm. And as I said before, it was just turning dust, which was perfect because there was not a cloud in the sky. We were way out in the country here, so it was dark as you would want it if you were going to be looking at the stars. And with a few lights, and I can't remember if they were red, blue, and white. I can't remember exactly the colors of them. But as they encircled this disc, as it was hovering over, or floating, I should say, over the farm, the bottom of the ship emitted a transparent, sort of like a lime greenish color. You know, it's very hard to describe it. Probably about, you know, similar to like you were looking in the area with a lime green. You can see through a transparency, blah, blah, blah. But it came down in a cone fashion, and it encompassed. Now, this thing's only hovering probably 200 feet above the house, maybe 300 because the trees are a little taller. And it encompassed the whole house, the barn, the farm, the drive shed, and the dogs. They did bark. There was no mooing. There was no nothing. There was just me acting like a fool, screaming my fool head off.
Hmm.
Now, it did this for a period of, I would say 5 minutes within that 20-minute span. And it then shut its lights off at about, you know, maybe 3 minutes before it had departed. And I watched this thing sit there and do nothing, of course, as it was doing, except shining that light. That's all I saw. I saw no creatures or nothing running around. I'm not going to claim that at all. And then it just went straight up into the stars, no zigzagging, no horizontal movement whatsoever, no sound, no big flash of light. It just went zip. And I watched that, Kevin. Now remember, it was just coming dust. And I watched that. If my eyes were bleeding, or if they could bleed, they were doing it. It was the most mind, or life-changing, I should say, experience that one can have when they see a UFO. And I was so fortunate to see for that one for about 20 minutes that, of course, it changed my life. I'm a definite believer ever since that day. Oh, by the way, Kev, mm-hmm. I have a friend. His name is Harry. He's in Germany, and I'm online with him right now. And he says, how you doing, Kev? He loves your show. He's listening to you right now.
Outstanding. Well, Harry, I'm glad you're listening. Glad you love the show, and hello.
All right. Kev, I'm going to let you go because I'm sure there's a lot of other callers that want to call in here. It was great talking to you again. And from coast to coast on Peltop, we all say hello. We air your show there every night.
All right. Thank you very much.
Take care, buddy.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye. Oh, very interesting. Two very interesting accounts of people seeing UFOs. And wow, what about that call from Dick? That was Dick Criswell, you know, talking about the UFO dogfight. Wow. Maybe some of you have seen such a dogfight. I don't know. But if you have, I'd love to hear from you. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
Good evening, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. I just had a comment. Your last few guests, sir, have just been so thought-provoking and outstanding. It really is. And it's almost, sometimes it's almost overwhelming to try to take in all the information that they're giving you, you know, and it almost kind of makes you feel small at times, kind of wondering what your place is in the whole grand scheme of things. But, you know, I really think that, you know, my own personal opinion here, that even if we had concrete evidence tomorrow and they did land on the White House lawn, let's say, that I think a lot of the same questions that we have as people, you know, wondering where we came from, what, you know, what is our purpose here, I think those things would still exist. You know, it would just be up another notch. You know, I wonder if those people and those races that are out there have those same questions that we do. You know, what is our origin? Where did we come from? You know, I think we would just get one more piece to this puzzle, but I think it would still continue. You know what I mean? It's almost like we're on the verge of this big step, but it's still just another step on this huge rung. Does that make any kind of sense to you at all? Or
yeah, it does. And you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about there are a host of movies. Down through the years, there have been a bunch of them about catastrophes. And, you know, either just one person is left alive or there's just maybe a handful of people left. And one of the things they begin doing immediately is looking for others.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like the search for other living people becomes just sort of a fever-pitched cause in their life. Just got through watching the other day this I Am Legend.
Oh, that's a good movie.
It's a very good movie. But there you have it in that movie. And then you've got, I remember a very old Twilight Zone. A couple of them. Where an astronaut lands in a different planet or a different time, and you know he's looking for others, and you know when he finds that one, you know, well that's like, you know, it's just wonderful. And I think that's what we're doing on this planet. I think, you know, there's this very I don't know if it's genetically encoded in us, but it's a fever pitch cause that we're looking for others like us.
And it almost seems like we're kind of reverse engineering humanity in a way, where the more that we discover what's out there, the more we're kind of finding out about our past and our origins and how things started. And yeah, it is. It's just so interesting. I feel like it's almost like a teeter-totter emotion for me sometimes. Sometimes I feel like we're on the edge of, like, really great things, and then other times I kind of feel like it's, you know, who knows what's around the next corner, almost kind of that creepy feeling. But it's, you know, like you said, what can you do? You grab your surfboard and take it on. You know, that's all you can do. And just that, you know, that you're doing the right thing. And you got kids, and I've got a daughter, and I think, you know, what's her future going to hold? What things is she going to see in her lifetime? And then I kind of look back at my own life, and I think, wow, you know, the short time I've been here on this planet, I've seen a lot of things. And who knows what kind of things she's going to be able to see in her lifetime. And, you know, those are the times really I get out of that mode of kind of feeling like, well, I don't know, is it going to be bad? And I really just think, I think there is hope out there. And I do think that the questions of humanity are going to be answered to a certain point, but there's always going to be questions, and I don't think it's just a humanoid issue. I think, like you said, you know, races, for some reason, you just, you know, you try to find like kind, and you try to find yourself and your origin, and yeah, it's just a very interesting time to be on this planet, for sure, sir.
Well, and we've got a break coming up, so it's going to cut us off here in a few seconds, but look, I think it's also humanity running as fast as it can from the Darwinian notion that we are pond scum.
Yeah.
It's got to be something else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Man, I appreciate the call.
Thank you, sir. As always, excellent show tonight, and you have a good evening.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I do. I think one of the things that's happening is people are, you know, we just can't live with the idea that all we are is an amalgamation of pond scum. There's got to be something more. I think innately we know there is something more, and we're trying to find out what it is. Some people would call that a spiritual quest. That may be true. It may also be genetically encoded in us that we just have to know. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will continue taking your calls, and we will continue talking about whatever is on your mind, all right? 1-800-289-1092.
Of excitement just your type. Read between the lines. I'm like a black light. I've got a secret, but it don't come for free. The price of excitement is your desire to be just like me. I've got what you need. All I am is you. All I am is you. Just like the rest of us. All I am is you. All I am is you.
Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. It is Open Line Live tonight, and we'll talk about what's on your mind. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling? Well... that's not cool. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. And also 1-800-318-1008. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Yes, Debbie.
Kind of interesting talks that are going on tonight. I'm glad that Dick called in with the information that he had to give about UFOs and a few of the other folks. Anyway, I don't know if you've had anybody talking about this, but one of my internet chat buddies sent me kind of some information about strange red lights seen over Phoenix.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, that's sort of, if you'll pardon the pun, up in the air right now. Here's the deal. Night before last, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was on the 21st.
Mm-hmm.
It was during the show. People in Phoenix were seeing these red lights up over mm-hmm. Phoenix, and they took on a rectangular formation. They also took on a triangular formation, mm-hmm. and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, local news has shown a guy saying that he saw his next-door neighbor launching traffic flares with helium balloons from his backyard. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason, and of course, and I've mentioned that, and it's a, if that's true, it's a huge hoax, and I will just say to the guy that launched these flares with balloons, if that's true, you know, how stupid can you be? Not just because it hoaxes things, but, I mean, you're putting traffic flares, which burn very, very hot, mm-hmm. into the air above a populated area, and they drop this molten stuff.
Right.
And it's a populated area, and it's a desert. I mean, folks that haven't been out here don't understand. This is very much like Mars with cactus.
It is.
And, I mean, it's a tinderbox out here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how stupid could you be?
Well, this is kind of interesting because, as you just mentioned earlier, a square and a triangle. So if this person, this guy who said that his neighbor was doing these traffic flares with helium balloons, but these other residents of Phoenix saw these lights, I think it, again, you know, the thing about the Phoenix Lights where, you know, folks were saying they were weather balloons, you can't get weather balloons to go into exact formations like that. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got, you know, winds blowing and stuff, the balloons are going to go in the direction of the wind. So maybe that guy that was on the news, maybe he's the one who's doing the hoax. Maybe
well, that's why it's up in the air. You see, I've seen the video that was on the news, and it's probably all over YouTube and everywhere now, but it was on local news here. I saw the video of it. The story is that these balloons were launched about a minute apart. Okay, not possible. Not possible. A minute apart, they would not be close together like these were.
No, no.
But anyway, I mean, okay, let's say it's traffic flares and balloons, and the police say, "Man, we're not going to investigate." Well, this is a crime. It's called reckless endangerment.
Right.
Okay, and they're not going to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, neither the guy who appeared on the news nor his next-door neighbor, whom he said he saw launching them, will answer their phones. Okay, there have been lots of people trying to get in touch with them, myself included, and they won't answer their telephones. You know, here's the deal. Maybe the story about it being a hoax is a hoax. Could be.
That's the whole thing. I mean, if say that it is true, and some of the residents of Phoenix have claimed to see these red lights, hey, second Phoenix light sighting. I think that would be, you know, something that's really 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 interesting. Anyway, in this report, it's from the Rumor Mill News. It says that the Air Force has claimed that it's not them.
That's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
They've come out and said, it's not us.
Then also in the report, it says earlier in this year in Texas, about 200 Stephenville area residents said they saw what may have been UFOs in the sky over the community in late December, early January, and several dozen people, including a pilot, county constable, and business owners, insisted they have seen a large silent object with bright lights flying low and fast. Some reported seeing fighter jets chasing it. The sightings attracted international attention.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, we've done several shows dealing with those Stephenville lights, those Stephenville UFOs. It's quite interesting. The Air Force in that case said at first, it wasn't us, we had nothing in the air. And then a few days later they came back and said, oh, you know what, we forgot. We had 10 F-16s up.
I kind of get a chuckle out of, you know, how quickly the government and the military change their minds in scenarios like that.
Well, you know, is it possible that what the Air Force told us is true? Well, it's absolutely true. Well, I don't think they forgot they had them up there. But is it true that they had F-16s up there? Absolutely.
Oh,
they were seen
right
by the witnesses.
Exactly. They're not going to tell the whole truth, but they're not going to tell an entire lie either.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I'm the more I'm into this, Debbie, the more I'm convinced those who have to come out and tell us really don't know any more about it than we do.
Exactly.
I may be wrong about that, but I think they're as baffled as the rest of us.
Well, and you're probably very right. You're probably very well right. Have you had a lot of chemtrails going on over in Phoenix?
Every day.
Same thing here. I counted, probably about 30 or 35 today. Just very unusual. I was looking at the sky on my way to work, and I'm like, oh, chemtrails. Interesting.
What do you think they are?
You know, I really don't know. I think, you know, if I probably, you know, checked it out psychically, I could probably find out. But right now I'm taking my polarity classes, and I'm putting a lot of my energy into that. That's another form of energy healing. So I just kind of look at them and remark, well, chemtrails. I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, another thing the government's doing that they're, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, there is one school of thought that they perhaps are designed to try and mitigate some of the global warming.
True, true. Well, I've been kind of on my bandwagon about alternative fuels anyway, and some of my buddies and I, one of my friends actually, we were having his birthday dinner just a few hours back, and we were talking about alternative fuels, and he said, well, you know, he says, it would be a good idea. And I said, no, it's a good idea that's going to happen because we just don't have the resources available to keep pulling fossil fuels out of the earth.
I think there's a great deal more fossil fuel in the earth than has been found, and I think that we could probably sustain what we're doing with, you know, using fossil fuels probably for another 150 or 200 years. I really do think so, but I'll tell you what. Here's the problem with it. It's killing us.
Yes, it is. That's the whole thing. And it's not only killing us, it's killing all life on Earth. It's killing the Earth Mother herself. That's why all these earthquakes and things are happening. It's because she's basically saying, you know, enough is enough, I'm tired of this, and things are going to have to change. And they're going to have to. I mean, you know, we can only have so many so many people here on the Earth Mother at one time. And right now we're pushing, what, 7 billion?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Right.
But, you know,
take much more.
How old are you? No, don't tell me that.
No, I'm 50. I'm 50.
Okay. The last time you had a breath of fresh air, actually fresh air, you were probably 5 or 6 years old.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can remember when I went to Spain, flying into Madrid, as we approached Madrid, I looked out the airplane window, and we could see Madrid out on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And then the plane banked and turned towards it, and I couldn't see it any longer. But I could see it, and what I noticed about it more than anything was this really brown dome of smog over the city. It was just like a dome. And
well,
while I was there, I thought I would die. I almost could not function because of the pollution in the air. Now, that was in 1980. That trip was in 1980, and they may have mitigated some of that by now, but it was absolutely horrid. Listen, I have to move along, but I do thank
right,
you for
Kev.
The call.
All right, well, thank you. Have a good night.
Good to hear from you. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. 1-800-289-1092 or 1-800-318-1008. Those are toll-free anywhere in the United States, Canada, parts of northern Mexico can get it. Also, we have had some folks call us from Puerto Rico that were able to access that toll-free line. I'm not sure how, but they did, and it was toll-free for them. Now, the numbers will work anywhere in the world, all right? It's just that it's toll-free, doesn't cost you anything if you're in the United States or Canada. I didn't set it up that way. The telephone company did, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Tom from Chatsworth, California.
Hello, Tom. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Doing great.
I just wanted to make a comment on my favorite physicist, the father of physics.
All right.
Nikola Tesla.
I like Nikola Tesla.
He's got a fascinating history, and I would like some of your listeners to just kind of look into what he's done for us and why he's not as affluent as Thomas Edison and Marconi, you know, since he has been the father of AC current and wireless transmission and UFOs and so forth.
You and I are having this conversation this evening, and people all over the world are listening to it because of Tesla's technology.
Exactly.
And he's absolutely the most brilliant inventor and scientist that has come along probably I would say since Galileo.
Right.
Yeah. He's absolutely brilliant.
He's got over 272 patents, anywhere from robotics to free energy to, like I said, wireless transmission. It's just a fascinating man.
You know, some of the folks listening to us tonight are listening by means of radio. They're hearing us on one of our affiliate radio stations.
Forget about Marconi.
You were taught that Marconi invented radio. That's not the case. It was Nikola Tesla, and that has been decided in the Supreme Court, and Nikola Tesla won.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
Did you know the story about when he worked for Thomas Edison?
Yeah, and Edison cheated him out of a lot of money.
$50,000 to make his DC motors more efficient, and he worked on it and worked on it and finally got it, and came time to pay up, and Edison said, you don't understand our American humor. So he left Edison, and I think he went to work for Westinghouse.
Yeah, he invented AC generators and AC alternating current motors, and sold that to Westinghouse.
Right, and of course everybody knows of the Tesla coil. So, if your listeners have a chance, look them up.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
You bet. All right, 1-800-289-1092 or 1-800-318-1008. Toll free. I was talking earlier about some of the guests that we've had on, and some of you have mentioned some of the guests that we've had on during the past couple of weeks. It has been phenomenal. It really has. I get as amazed as you as we listen to them. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. If you will, tell us your first name and where you're calling from.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello.
This is Tony from Oklahoma.
Yeah, Tony.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, sir.
One of the callers before was talking about things that he's seen come about in his time. And there's oftentimes I think of, I'm 61. And when I was a kid, there were only 3 TV channels.
Yeah.
I lived in New York, and there were only 3 TV channels, and there was always something on.
and cartoons. You remember cartoons came on Saturday morning.
Right. And even though there's only 3 channels, now we have hundreds of channels, and there's many times when I'll go through those hundreds of channels, and there's nothing to watch.
Yeah. We used to get programming that had some substance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And now it's pablum.
Science shows and good science fiction shows. One Step Beyond with John Newland. Do you remember him?
No, I don't remember that one.
It was kind of a precursor to, like, the Twilight Zone and things like that. Supposedly true stories and science fiction theater.
I remember that one.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah.
I wish those were available on DVD. And there's kids walking around today who have no idea that at one time TVs had knobs.
Or tubes.
Right.
I remember when I was a kid, the TV would start acting up. My dad would take a tester, unplug the TV, find the tube that was burnout, go up to 7-Eleven and buy a tube from, they had a little
display of TV tubes. And he'd buy the appropriate tube, take it home, plug it in, TV would work again.
Right. And most drugstores had those testers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You could just walk, take the, if you knew anything about TV, you take, look in the back and find the schematic and see you got a vertical problem, pull out the tubes that say vertical, take them into the drugstore, test them, and they have the tubes right there. And but, I mean, don't get me wrong, today's technology is unbelievable. What a time to live.
It is, but look, I'll tell you something. It is a it's a paradoxical time to live. We have some of the greatest technology ever in the history of this planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have occasion to come into contact with future generations on a daily basis. And I got to tell you, it's the planet of the apes looming on the horizon.
I have to agree.
Now, there will be people that will write me and tell me that I insulted their kids and they're never going to listen to my show again. But let me tell you what. Sit down and ask the kids, who is Benjamin Franklin? They can't tell you. Sit down and ask the kids, where is Tibet? I mean, that's much in the news, is it not? They can't tell you. They don't even know what it is.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's true.
They,
it's strange.
They know nothing. They are knuckle draggers intellectually, and it is...
Isn't that amazing?
No.
I think that's just amazing.
It's not. I'll tell you why. We invented the educational system, and we turned it over to the federal government, and you know what they do? They look for things that work so they can break them. I'm talking about the education department. They look for things that work so they can break them.
Right.
And our schools are turning out kids that know nothing. Now, are there exceptions to that? Yes, there are. And there are some exceptionally bright young people. I'm talking about the masses. And the masses are coming out cookie-cutter dumb.
This is true.
Hey, Tony, I appreciate the call, man. I got to move along.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
Thanks for the call. You bet, thanks. 1-800-289-1092 or 1-800-318-1008. Both of them toll free. Whenever I say something like I just said, I know my inbox is going to be ablaze by morning. But, you know, it wouldn't be ablaze if it weren't true. It is true. It is true. Have you ever gone into a store where young people are running the register? And for some reason, like, you know, they punch in how much money you give them, and the register tells them how much change to give you back. And you say, oh, wait a minute, here's 3 cents. And you're doing that so you won't have a pocket full of change. They can give you a rounded up to the next dollar, right? It absolutely blows them out of the water. They can't figure it out. Where is science in the future with that in the present? Where is technology? Where is society in the future with that in the present? There is a dark side, and I think in many ways it may be running our education. 1-800-289-1092, 1-800-318-1008. Some of the people that have been on this show within just the past few days, the past couple of weeks, certainly do not fall into that category. They are exceptionally bright people. Now, just consider, we've had Robert Morningstar, and he was with us on Monday. We had Eric Taylor. Now, Eric is a young man that certainly does not fall into the category of what I just talked about. He is a very bright, alert young man. And, you know, he talked about his investigation of the Stephenville UFO witness account, the witness account being Ricky Sorrell's. And then we had Joseph Farrell on last night. Wow. Joseph Farrell talked with us about this cosmic war. I'm interested, really, I really would like to know what you think about that. Do you think this cosmic war actually took place? He's approaching it from the standpoint of it shows up in the texts, ancient texts of many ancient civilizations, and they all describe things happening that could only happen with advanced technology. So do you think maybe that took place? Do you think maybe that cosmic war happened? I think he makes a good case. I'll tell you, I've read that book, I don't know, several times now, and each time I read it, I find something else that I didn't notice before. And it's just a most amazing, amazing account. I think there's a pretty good possibility that he's onto something there. And I'll tell you what we're working on. I probably should not tell you this, but I will. We're working on getting Dr. Joseph Farrell together on the show here with Richard Hoagland and to let them discuss on the show this cosmic war and the possible physics behind it. So we're working on getting them together. Both have agreed in principle to it, and we're just trying to settle on a date now. So that's going to be a blockbuster show, if ever there was one. And that'll be coming up, hopefully. Hopefully we can get that put together and get them together on the show for you here within the next couple of weeks. We're working on that now. I had some email exchanges with them today. And so I think that's probably going to come off. I think that's going to happen. And you don't want to miss that. Now, this is Open Line Live, and I want to hear from you wherever you are throughout the United States, throughout Canada, throughout the rest of the world, wherever you are. I want to hear from you the things that are on your mind, the topics that are important to you. This is what Open Line Live is all about. We have a break coming up, and when we come back from the break that's about to start here in about 4 or 5 seconds, when we come back from that, what we're going to do is more of your calls and more Open Line Live discussion. Don't go away. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
All right, we are back. And caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Darren from Michigan.
Yes, Darren.
How you doing, Kevin?
Outstanding, Darren.
Good. Yeah, I loved your guest last night. He was fantastic.
Kind of a mind blower, huh?
Yeah, very much so. That's one of my favorite subjects. I'm reading Richard Hoagland's Dark Mission right now, and that is just chock full of information relating to that kind of stuff.
Well, I don't know if you heard right before the break, I was talking about the fact that we're trying to work out a date for the two of them, Richard Hoagland and Dr. Farrell, to be on the show together.
That'd be great.
Yeah. If last night was a blockbuster, this will be a galaxy buster.
Yeah, I love Richard Hoagland and your other guests. You know, I think it's a really an important subject because we really don't know where we're from. We really don't. And, yes, we have these belief systems that we can buy into and say, yes, that's where we're from. But you're just buying into it. There's no actual evidence. You know what I'm saying? They're just belief systems. Very man-made, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. Of course, all belief systems, by definition, would have to be man-made since they're man-believed.
Yeah, and you have to have faith to believe in that. I'd like to have some proof, wouldn't you? I like to know, have some proof as to where we might have come from. And I think there's a lot of evidence that suggests that we could be from space. Maybe Mars, you know.
Well, yeah. You know, the fact that we have 200, pardon me, we have 223 of the genes that have no evolutionary precursors. That by itself says they did. Those 223 genes are not from here.
Exactly, and that's huge.
Oh, I think so. If you just had one gene that's not from here, that would be huge. You got 223.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So, you know, when people say, well, do you think that the aliens really are doing a hybrid program? We are hybrids.
We are hybrids. I agree with that.
I don't know what we're hybrids of, but we're hybrids.
Yeah, I don't know if we come from them or not, but someone has tampered with us at some point in time. I know didn't they find a finger here that was like a million years old?
I'm sorry, find a what?
A finger, a petrified finger.
Oh yeah, I've got a picture of that. Yeah, it was 2 or 3 years ago. I put that in the on the website, and it was up there for a while. Yeah, it's a petrified finger. They've x-rayed it. It's got a bone in it, fossilized, and it's several million years old, much older than they say humans are.
Wow. See, you're talking millions of years. What happened through just 1 million years? I mean, it's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
I think we have a lot of history that we just don't know about. And to me, that's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that, I don't know, I'm not sure what the agenda is, why there's such a fight to keep us from knowing it.
I know, I don't understand that. I don't know if NASA's behind that or not.
I don't think NASA is, but somebody is.
Somebody is. Someone's pulling the strings.
Mm-hmm. All right, man, I appreciate the call. What's the weather like in Michigan?
Pretty warm, actually, in the 70s.
Oh, is that right?
Quite pleasant right now. which is odd. It's a bit early for that.
Yes, we're beginning to move into hot weather here.
Are
you? Yeah, we were in the 90s today, and within just a few weeks, we'll be up into North Hell.
North Hell.
Yep. Yep, that's where we live in the summertime.
That's a good way to put it.
Yep. Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks. Have a good night.
All right. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. Or 1-800-318-1008. Either line toll-free throughout all of the United States and Canada. If you're elsewhere in the world, then you can send me a flash message. I'll read it on the air, and I'll be happy to comment on it or address your concerns or whatever. We have a flash message that came in from Sweden, from Mustafa, and it says, "Hi, Kevin. Yesterday's show was the best show ever, and man, I couldn't sleep. My mind was so active because of all that, and still today. Dr. Joseph Farrell is very fascinating. I hope you bring him back again. Oh, and it's a great show today." Well, thank you, Mustafa. I appreciate that. We do our best to bring the best guests that we can, and we try. And they're all good, but sometimes it turns out that we've just outdone ourselves by accident. very definitely, Dr. Farrell is fascinating. You could tell from listening to the show why I made the comments I made about that book that he wrote called The Cosmic War. It is a grand slam home run. I'm telling you, it's just absolutely phenomenal, and I highly recommend you get it and read it. And by the way, we don't get paid for that, all right? It's not like if you buy the book, we get a cut of it. That's not why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because I read the book. I recommend it. We don't get a cut of that. I recommend it because I believe it is one of the best books I've ever read. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? All right. We still have people playing games. 1-800-289-1092 or 1-800-318-1008, toll free. This whole thing about the possibility that there was this great cosmic war, this war between civilizations out there, the possibility of that, I think, is a pretty good possibility, especially after you read this book and you read all of the ancient texts that he includes in the book, and then you read his explanation of the physics involved with that and how that actually exists, that physics exists. He makes a good case. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Ben Harris, calling from Hollywood, California.
All right. Tell us your first name again.
Ben.
Ben? All right. Can you turn down the program?
Yeah, I just walked out of the room. I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. Well, are you a first-time caller?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I've been listening to your show quite a bit, and I'm very impressed with the caliber of guests that you're getting.
Well, thank you. Let me give you some applause here for being a first-time caller. All right.
Speech.
What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I heard you giving talks about seeing alien UFOs. I had an encounter where we were making a movie with Warner Brothers in the 60s in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And this was the last Jimi Hendrix movie, but Jimmy died during the movie. And while they were doing the rushes, we had the world champion surfers there. One of them called me around. He said, "Ben, do you want to see a UFO?" And I said, "Yeah, sure." And I ran around behind the church, and there was one hovered behind the church about 3 or 4 feet off the ground. And you could look right in the front window and see the face of the alien running around twisting and dials and stuff. And, I mean, I actually looked in there and saw that alien running around. The guy said it blows your mind. It absolutely blows your mind because
What did this alien look like?
Well, he looked like sort of like the comic book character Jiminy Cricket. He looked like a little teeny kind of a simple man, about 3 feet tall. He had a little baseball hat on with a flap on the back like the French Foreign Legion.
Yeah?
He had his eyes weren't really big like the Grays. He was like a little jockey, like, you know, the jockeys you see on the lawn?
Mm-hmm.
He was about that size. And he was very busy, and I got brave for a minute, and I walked right up to the front of it. It was a pearl-shaped UFO with a beveled glass, like a window in the front.
Uh-huh.
And there was underneath it was a round light where beams of color were coming out. And at one point, colors were coming out I had never seen before. And the colors were going around trees and rocks, and he was running around twisting dials. But I got right up about 10 feet in front of the window, moment of stupidity, and to look him right in the eye. But he never looked me right in the eye. It was as if I wasn't there. He was really extremely robotic about his task. And I would venture to say that being that I put myself right in his field of view, he did not see me. They are very robotic creatures.
Wow. Now, you're the first person that I've ever talked to that says that they have looked into a UFO and seen.
I looked right in the front window. And
wow.
Better yet, this was in the 60s in Hawaii, where there were people from all over the world, hippies, you know, and, you know, people like Leary and people dropping acid and all kinds of things going on there. But the world champion surfers that were there, Paul Gebauer, Leslie Potts, guys like this, they told me they saw the UFOs every day. And when they was way out in the ocean, you know, surfing back in, sometimes the UFOs would hover right next to them and watch them and even wave to them.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And this was in Hawaii, where there was matter of fact. The guy said, matter of fact to me, you want to see a UFO? It was like, you know, the most tremendous thing that could happen. And he was so casual about it. And I was able to see the alien. And during that movie, while that movie was made, we literally saw hundreds of flying saucers. At one point, we rented a girls' college on the top.
Ben, can you hang on through the break, Ben?
Yeah, sure.
All right. All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. Don't go away.
Tonight.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back. We were going to go back to Ben. What a fascinating story about seeing these UFOs. While he was there filming the last Jimi Hendrix movie. Fascinating story. Ben, I got to tell you, man, if you're still listening, I didn't hang up on you. I don't know what happened. I pushed a button where you should have been able to hear the music during the break. And when I tried to come back to you just before the break, I discovered the line was dead. I am sorry. So there's still time. If you want to call back in, please do so on that same number. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Okay, well, we had two of them give up during the break. All right. Oh, my goodness. All right, 1-800-289-1092 or 1-800-318-1008. We still have time for a call or two if you hurry, all right? But isn't it fascinating when we open up the phone lines and we hear what people from around the world are seeing, what they experience, what they are saying to us? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Ben again.
Ben, I don't know what happened, man.
Well, it happens, you know.
All right. So you said you started to tell us something that happened during the rushes.
Yeah, there was world champion surfers there, and I at the time had a metaphysical center up on the Sunset Strip, so I was, you know, actively interested in all these subjects. We were making a metaphysical movie called Rainbow Bridge, so we had quite a few metaphysical people there, kahunas and numerologists and lava walkers and all sorts of things. And so we had a high energy there, and there were flying saucers all over anyway. To make a long story short, they said, "Do you want to see one?" We ran around behind the church in the girls' college we rented for the summer, and there it was, a pearl-shaped UFO floating above the ground about a couple of feet.
Yeah.
And one alien inside running around twisting dials.
Ben, will you do me a favor?
Sure.
All right. Write that story up, and on my website, you'll see on the menu, you'll see on the menu, it'll say Listener Stories.
Yeah.
Click on that and just copy and paste that story into that and send it to us so we can put it on the website.
Well, it gets better. That inspired me to pursue the subject further.
Yeah.
And I got a scholarship to do past life hypnosis where I transferred it later into UFO abductees. And we've mastered using telepathy to read their minds so we know what they're up to.
Listen, I want you to stay on the line with me. Don't go away, okay?
Hi.
I got to go to the next call. I'm going to put you on hold. You'll be able to hear us.
Well, that's okay. I'm watching my new computer.
All right, man. I want you to just stay with me, all right?
All right.
All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. John in North Carolina. I got a real bad connection on this end, but can you hear me?
Oh, yes. We hear you fine.
I know you're running short on time, so I'll just put the question out there and hang up if it's okay.
Sure.
Okay, this CERN particle accelerator they're building in Europe, I understand basically what they're going to do, but I don't understand all the ramifications if they succeed. If you could elaborate on that, I'd sure appreciate it.
Okay, I will do so. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, let me make sure I didn't cut Ben off. Are you still with me, Ben?
I'm right here.
All right. Hang on. I want to talk with you after we get through with the show. I got to get some more information from you here.
Sure, yeah. There's information that people need to hear, really.
Yeah, hang on. All right, let's talk about the particle accelerator and what's up with that. What they're going to do is attempt to create some very, very small miniature black holes. Okay, so the reason they want to do that is they're trying to discern some of the physics involved. And, I mean, there are mysteries that don't match the physics we know. And so that's what they are attempting to do. And so they intend to create these miniature black holes. Now, there is a theory that the problem with that is once you start a black hole, you can't stop it. No matter if it's at the atomic level, if it is just a one-atom-sized black hole, it would still be, would it not, a black hole. And would it not do what black holes do, which is feed on everything around it? And so there is a theory, and there are people who think that it's quite possible they could start something that could grow into something that could eat the Earth, and indeed eventually the solar system. We have talked with scientists on this show who have said they have no concern about that because the energy involved in creating this black hole would, you know, once they create it and they get their instantaneous snapshots of it and their instantaneous data, they shut the energy down, and therefore it's not feeding it and it won't sustain. Well, I'm not sure. And I don't think they are sure. It is a guess. I think that possibly it is correct that the black hole will not be sustainable and that it will die of its own accord. But what if? You see, the stakes are so high that unless you know, then you're really, truly playing with something dangerous here. I hope that after they do this, I hope that they will look back at this and chuckle and laugh and ridicule me for ever bringing it up. I do. I hope that it all turns out the way they say and that I am entirely off base by even thinking of that possibility. But the possibility exists that once you start a black hole, it's going to do what black holes do, which is feed. And as it feeds, it grows. As it grows, it feeds more. It sucks in the energy. It sucks in everything around it. And but I'll tell you, if they do this black hole thing and then we never hear anything from them, maybe they're gone. Maybe the black hole ate them. So, but, you know, I that's what it's all about. That's what they're going to do. That's what it's all about. All right, Ben, are you still with me?
Here I am.
Okay. Now, I got a couple of questions, and then I still want you to stay with me after I close the show.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a good connection? You can hear me okay?
Oh, quite clear.
Okay. This happened when did you say, 1960?
It was around 1970.
1970. All right, and you looked into this craft, you saw this alien. You described what his kind of his facial features were like, but what about his skin? What color was his skin?
Oh, I would say a kind of an off-white grayish color.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. If you had seen him out on the street, would you have said that's not from this planet?
I probably would have thought it was a jockey.
Well, I don't know, a 3-foot jockey is kind of small for a jockey.
Yeah, well, I would say between 3 and 4 feet somewhere there. Closer to the 3 foot, though, really. Like a child, you know.
What about the clothing?
The clothing appeared to be like a jumpsuit.
What color was it?
No, that's a good question. I think it was so neutral, probably like a desert sand color.
Uh-huh.
And the hat was sort of matching.
Did you see any kind of insignias?
No insignias, no.
No.
I did notice the bevel, like the, you know, the front window, which was an oval shaped.
Okay.
And it was beveled, and I thought that was just, it was exquisite, the way that it was done, you know, like an exquisite beveled mirror.
All right. I wish we had more time. I want to hear more about that, but we don't have more time. We've reached the end of the show. I want you to stay on the line with me, though. All right, folks, it's always, as Rosanna Dana used to say, it's always something. Tell you what, if you got a few extra bucks floating around, help us out. We're in a crunch, all right? There's a donate button on the website. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.